All right, everybody, let's get started. As other people come in, we'll welcome them and then we'll go. So first, I just want to talk about the brief logistics of the course. You've got this conference number. Later on, it's going to be Maestro Conference. And that will enable us to break you into groups and interact. It's really a great feature. The time is always going to be 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. for 6 Thursdays in a row. The calls will be recorded, and then they will be placed online on the Unstuck Process website, basically the confirmation page that you went to. And they will be up pretty much unedited. It takes forever to edit these calls, so it's just for your own use. If you want to listen to it again, you're welcome to. And, of course, if you miss a call, it's essential that you immediately go there and listen to it and do whatever exercises are required. So the course itself, we've got the Unstuck worksheet. So everyone should have a copy of that. And there's a link to it, and I sent you that link, or I sent you to the page with the link. There is the book. You should all have read the book at least once in the PDF format, and I'm going to be sending you a hard copy of the book. And these calls are going to be highly interactive. I'm going to do my best, although it's always a struggle to give you more and more information. And this course is really not about information. It is about action. So it really fits my theme for this year, a little less information, a little more action. It's about doing the exercise. It's about understanding the exercise so that you can do it better and really getting some experience and practice so that you can see the power of this amazing exercise. You already have all the information from the book and from the worksheet, but often people struggle with this for various reasons. You know, the biggest belief might be, I can't get rid of my beliefs. I'm stuck with this belief. This belief is who I am. And we're going to try to prove through your experience that you are not your beliefs. You have beliefs, but that is not who you are. And when you realize that, bit by bit, with various beliefs, things really shift. And the possibilities for doing things in your business, marketing, life open up sometimes really dramatically. The very first time I did this, I probably shared this a million times, so bear with me. The first time I did this process was essentially Byron Katie's process many years ago. I was just stuck. I had a lot of things on my list. I wasn't getting any of them done. I felt like it was just slogging through quicksand. Nothing was happening. I was feeling really down. I wouldn't say depressed, but just not, you know. I was stuck, the perfect definition of stuckness. And yet I'd already learned this process a month or two before that. And so I said, well, I guess this is a time to use it. And I pulled out the questions and I started to just apply it to myself and write down the answers. And so the belief that I was stuck in is I'm just not able to handle it all. I'd created a lot of possibilities for myself, a lot of projects, and it was like I'd gone into overwhelm and then into shutdown, which is really a common experience if you're in business for yourself. So I did the process. It took about half an hour. It took a while for me to really identify that belief. And once I had, I zeroed in and did all the other questions. And by the end of it, I sat there kind of stunned. That it's like I had taken on this belief, treated it as real, acted through that belief, and therefore was stuck in not moving forward. And just a couple minutes after, a few minutes after finishing the exercise, I went from feeling, you know, down and stuck and kind of hopeless to feeling optimistic, enthusiastic, and excited. And also very calm and very centered. And then I looked at my list of all these things, and I said, heck, what's the problem? And I just knocked off everything on that list that day. Just got everything done. And then for the next 6 months or more, I couldn't find delay or procrastination anymore. It's like I learned how to ride the bike and couldn't fall off anymore. It was impossible for me to delay, and I just created things and did things and just, amazing things opened up for me. And in about a year and a half, I doubled my income, for instance. So it had some pretty nice side effects of just, essentially uncovering that belief for what it was, a lie, and seeing that I had unlimited possibility. So then I've started to use it with clients more often and saw some great results, used it in my mastery program really intensively. You know, when I'm working with somebody individual as a coach and a marketing coach and consultant with my mastery program or individually, people are pushed against their limits as to what they could do, and we're really going for getting big clients and having big breakthroughs. And this one guy in Boulder, Colorado, was a really great guy, smart guy, but all his marketing efforts were just, they weren't working. Nothing was happening. He wasn't converting, even though he was doing all the right things. But he told me, Robert, I'm doing the Unstuck worksheet a couple times a week. So even though I'm not getting results, I'm still optimistic. I know I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right thing. As soon as I start to feel down, I do the exercise. I get myself unstuck. I'm back on track. And then near the end of the workshop, he went on his honeymoon, got married, went on his honeymoon. And during his honeymoon, three of his proposals came through for several thousand dollars. And, he used to sell a program that was a $5,000 program. And now he's selling $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 programs. So a lot of that was, of course, due to, we gave a lot of techniques for marketing a service. But a lot of it was due to getting unstuck and keep going. Because people just give up often after a time, and the beliefs just take over. So that's what's possible for this and what's possible for you and in this course. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with a question for you to answer. Instead of me telling you what this is all about, I want you to tell me. So the only way this course will work is if you participate quickly. Don't sit back and wait for someone else to jump in, or we'll have very long gaps in the recording and in the course. So I want some of you to raise your index finger ready to press your phone, and the question is, what is stuckness and where does it come from? What do you think it is? So let's hear somebody's idea about that. What is stuckness and where does it come from? And by the way, what we'll do is, if I don't get an answer, I'll just call on somebody and unmute their phone. Okay, so we have someone, the 516 area code. Who's that?
Scott, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. So,
good.
What is stuckness and where does it come from?
I think it comes from fear, being afraid to move forward, thinking you're going to do something wrong. I mean, I know I'm going to quote business and... Yeah, you say if you rush through something, you miss your number, and then you're stuck with it. So I think it's just fear.
Yeah, okay. That's good. And there's not necessarily one answer to this, but that's a really good answer. Stuckness does come from fear. Fear is an interesting thing because nobody really wants to admit that they're afraid. We want to put up a good front. We want to look good. We want to have a certain amount of bravado and confidence. But the fear is there. And fear is the killer. So that's right on. Thank you, Scott. Okay. Somebody else.
Oh, this is Anne Marie. I agree that the feeling associated with stuckness is fear. And the story I tell myself is I don't know enough.
Yeah. So what comes first, the fear or the belief?
I think... for me, most of the time, the story comes first.
Yeah.
That I scare myself with my own story.
You know, it happens so fast, it's almost simultaneous.
Right.
So, you know, I've concluded ultimately that it really doesn't matter too much. We have the belief, we have the stuckness itself, that is the situation we're in, that was preceded by a belief and a feeling. Sometimes things are, you just feel things in your body. You know, you see something and you retract. And it happens so fast, it's hard to even see a belief. But usually if we dig down, we'll see that there was a something that we were aware of, some way that triggered some old pattern and belief. So,
exactly.
So there's the feeling, there's the belief, and they're really, you know, intimately connected. So I'm just going to be calling on people. This is probably an easier way to go. So, perfect. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Okay, how about the person, let's see, 403 area code. 403-608, who's that?
Yes, it's Liz Hyde.
Okay. What is stuckness and where does it come from?
Stuckness to me is sheer avoidance. And I believe it is a part of your belief system that comes from messages from society, others, family of origin, self.
Yeah. So, you know, we've heard of conditioning, right?
Yeah.
And conditioning is, you know, all the messages, all the education, all the TV, all the things we've heard in our lives, and, of course, experiences that have happened to us that have made us conclude that something is true. You know, we have beliefs about a lot of things. For instance, if you didn't have a belief that you could open a door, you couldn't get out of a room, right? You wouldn't know what to do.
Right.
So a lot of beliefs are very useful.
Definitely.
They're perfectly understandable that we should have a belief, you know, in to manage conventional reality. So then we have beliefs about other things, and we take them to think that they're beliefs just like that's a door. See, I don't have time is really something that's been conditioned into us. It's not like that's a door. That's been conditioned into us as well, but it's a different kind of domain of conditioning and belief, right? But often we think, well, you know, you don't understand, Robert. I remember somebody having this interaction with me at a workshop years ago, and she said, well, I don't have time. I just don't have time. And I said, do you ever realize that when you say that, that it's a completely self-fulfilling prophecy? Right?
Absolutely.
So welcome to the other people that are joined the call. We're just in the middle of this, and we're exploring the question, what is stuckness and where does stuckness come from? So conditioning leads to beliefs. Beliefs lead to feelings, and then we start to create situations or conditions that are congruent with the stuck belief. See, it's hard to, you know, if you're really unhappy about something, for instance, it's very hard for someone to say, I am happy, because it's just not congruent, right? It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't make sense. It's a lie. So it's pretty easy to, you know, to start to really just notice these beliefs and that we are congruent with those beliefs. That is, we act and behave and feel according to those beliefs. This is why so much behavior change psychology is really rather ineffective, although in some cases it can work. So, so are you still there? Who's the person I was talking to?
Liz.
Liz, sorry about that. So Liz, if I say you want to develop a new habit, so what's, for instance, a new habit, a positive habit that you'd like to develop?
A new habit?
Yeah, a positive habit that would help you in your business, for instance, or marketing.
I would like to write more.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now you might resist that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not might.
Well, let's be clear.
Like, totally. So I can give you an could give you an exercise to write a little bit. I could give you encouragement.
Yeah.
I could give you feedback. And over a period of time, you would start to get a little better. And then in that, you'd start to see evidence that you actually could write. And then the belief would just start to shift on its own. Although some people who are great writers, seriously, great writers, don't think they're good at writing at all. So they still have the belief, and they still beat themselves up if they, you know, if their writing is less than perfect, which is, of course, impossible. So you can change things by behavior, but the belief still might remain. So you could actually be a good writer, a habitually good writer, and still not be happy with your writing.
Sure.
Which is kind of a tragedy, right?
Yeah.
So the other possibility is your belief changes about writing, and you don't believe you're a bad writer anymore. It's not necessarily that you believe you're a great writer, but you can't believe you're a bad writer anymore. Then whatever you write, you can see it's, well, hey, that's okay. It's the best I can do. And you keep getting better and better and better because you're not clouded by belief, I'm not a good writer.
I'm liking this already.
So, you know, I like to think with both habits and practices and with getting unstuck but and the beliefs, but mostly we're going to be focusing on the beliefs. So let's see. Let's get one other. So thank you, Liz. Let's get one other person and their perspective on this. What is stuckness and where does it come from? So let's try. This person I think might be overseas. It's 194921. Who's that?
Steve Kohlenberger.
Steve. Okay, Steve.
Yes. I was thinking, originally I was thinking it was fear, but what I realized in thinking about the challenges that I look at, that I procrastinate, that I avoid, are it's a fear of a negative outcome, something that is, that I look at the negative outcome as worse in that moment than the positive possibility,
yeah.
Even though the long-term negative consequence is far worse than the short-term. So it's like a procrastinate because it looks like in the moment the negative outcome is worse than the positive gain. But in the long-term, not having the positive gain is catastrophically terrible. So
exactly. So that's what we call cost and payoff.
Yeah, I actually worked with a client like this. I said, did you notice that not talking to the principal of the school where they might turn you down one at a time is a little uncomfortable, but if you don't do that, your business will fail and you'll lose your house. And isn't losing your house far worse than getting turned down by somebody you want a little bit of work from? She went, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. But see, when I look at that for me...
Did she take action then?
It was really hard for her. She did take some, but only for a short time, and then she kind of went back to her old habits.
Yeah. So this is why doing the unstuck process more than once. People do it, oh, yeah, I did it once 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it creates these big breakthroughs, perhaps, and then we forget. It's sort of like eating a meal, you know. We don't eat one meal, and that's the solution to hunger forever, right? We've got to keep
eating. I did this with
ourselves.
Her a year ago. I hadn't heard about this unstuck process from you.
Yeah.
You didn't have it then.
What was that?
You didn't have this unstuck process when I talked to her about it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I've been doing variations on this for almost 10 years. But,
okay.
You know, then I formalized it a bit more by writing the book about it. But this whole cost and payoff thing, see, the cost is what you said. The cost is... not making money and getting kicked out on the street. That's the worst case scenario, right? But the costs, I say the costs are real and the costs are high of
mm-hmm.
being stuck in almost all cases. But when I ask people what the payoff is, so you said it in a different way, but I talk about payoff. What the payoff is you get positive reinforcement in a perverse kind of way by avoiding something. And
mm-hmm.
what you get, the payoff is you get to be comfortable, right? You
mm-hmm.
get to be safe. You avoid any risk.
In the moment.
in the moment. You avoid being the possibility of rejection, the possibility of failure, and the possibility of any kind of pain. So it's the immediate, you know, pulling the hand away from the fire, because that's what I see. My belief is telling me if I take action, I'm going to be burned. So the payoff is avoiding being burned. And some people say, well, what's the solution to that? Well, the solution is realizing that that immediate payoff is mostly imaginary, only generated by beliefs. There's a saying that Byron Katie has, is that our belief is always worse. The outcomes, the consequences, whatever, of our belief is always worse than the reality itself. Because we're just making it up. We make up all these scenarios of rejection and hurt and all this kind of stuff. And usually it's just, you know, usually is too tame. Virtually never is it that bad. Do you ever resist making follow-up calls?
Are you kidding? That's one of those silly questions. Like, you know, are you afraid of, you know, at least for most people, that's, are you know,
are you afraid of spiders crawling down your pants? I mean, of course.
Yeah. Public speaking? What?
So, yeah. Follow-up calls seems to be one of those that we have this terrible belief that, you know, we'll be rejected, we'll make a fool of ourselves, et cetera. When you really look at that, that argument doesn't hold water. The belief is really flimsy. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Will they send a hitman out to take you out? Will that happen?
Not likely. It's most likely they'll just block your number.
Yeah, they'll block your number. Oh, well, can you survive that? Anyway, so anyway, very good answer. I think you have good insight into this. And you know, when you understand this completely intellectually, it only has minimal impact. And you have to get past just the purely intellectual and then see the possibilities beyond the stuckness that really starts to have the impact.
And have the habits ingrained so you can spot it when you're doing it and know how to conquer it.
Yeah, well...
But as you said, we get in the habit of eating once and feeling full and then forgetting about how to do that when we're starving.
Yeah, exactly. However, you know, when I shared, you know, what happened to me and the big breakthrough I had, I didn't notice myself later being conscious of or struggling with avoidance or procrastination anymore. It had shifted it, I wouldn't say permanently, but very, very dramatically. So that for instance, the whole thing of riding the bike, right? You fall off the bike. Maybe you remember this when you were a kid. I don't know, but we understand the concept. Once we learn that reality of balance, it's not a concept. It's something that's in our body, right? Once we get that, it's very hard to fall off the bike anymore because the balance just triggers in. It's body intelligence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very much like that. I don't know what part of the brain it is or the mind or how exactly it works. But when you see something so absolutely clearly, and what you see so absolutely clearly is that belief is a complete lie. It isn't true. There's no basis in fact. It's absolute nonsense. Then when that comes up anymore, it doesn't even arise in consciousness anymore. It's like the hesitation is not there anymore. It's like you could pick up the phone all day long and call people. And even if everybody on the end said, don't you ever call me again, it's not even a problem for you. I mean, I'm talking the extreme case. It's like, okay, well, there's someone else out there that's going to be interested because I know what I have is great and can help people because I need to keep working on my message. But there's no personal feeling of someone out there rejecting you. I mean, it just isn't there anymore. Now, that may or may not happen with you, you know, instantly, but for many of you, that kind of shift will happen so that certain of these activities will never be a major issue for you again. You know, I can't promise absolutely forever, but you don't even have to remember it in the moment. It's just not there to be afraid anymore because you've basically destroyed the belief.
So you brought up an interesting question, that there's a level of depth where if you do a surface, a cursory level, like I did with my client,
yeah,
it comes back. And if you do it at a very somehow deep level, it doesn't. So
yeah,
I'll hope that at some point later down in one of the future courses, potentially, or future sessions, you'll be able to help address how you maybe can tell the difference or work on the difference.
Yeah, well, you'll know. Sort of like, how do you know you're in love? Don't worry, you'll know. You'll be obsessed with that person, basically.
Okay.
So, you know, it's something that you'll know.
Okay.
So you'll also notice, you know, at the end of the book, I have all the 12 questions and I have the sub-questions. And sometimes you have to delve into some of the sub-questions to really route this out and really look at it from all angles until it sort of pops for you. I mean, it's sort of intellectual. I know it's not true, but I still believe it. I don't really totally believe it because I'm seeing it, but still, you know, I kind of still believe it. And so sometimes you have to take another expression of the belief. I just think this is an important thing. And my insight has been that perhaps the most challenging part of this whole process is simply accurately identifying the belief. And, you know, I talk about this in the book, but what I mean by accurately is you recreate exactly what it is you're telling yourself. And see, that voice is often very, very subconscious. And so we try to look at various aspects of it to see that how that belief is actually expressing ourselves. And when we hear it that way, we go, oh, yeah, that's what I'm telling myself. I see it now. And then it's much easier to uncover it and see the untruth of it and get past it. But if we're saying something, if we're articulating another belief, it might be in the ballpark, but if it's not right on the money, you don't get the same kind of results.
Mm.
So it's about seeing what is. That is, what is, there's no speculation, there's no theory, there's no nothing. It's just, is it this color or that color? No, it's that color. That's exactly the tonality, the words I use to myself. So, for instance, if you keep saying to yourself, oh, that's so stupid what you did. Oh, I'm so stupid. So what's the belief under the expression, I'm so stupid? This is pretty simple. What would that be?
Well, that I'm dumb or I can't understand it or...
No, you just use the same words, that you believe you're stupid.
Right, okay.
Now, if I asked you in a polite conversation, you know, do you think you're stupid?
I would say...
No, I'm a smart guy. I'm not stupid. But... So that's sort of a protection mechanism. But underneath there, we are telling ourselves once in a while when we screw up somehow, oh, I'm so stupid. So, and that's deeply ingrained in us, that really, underneath it all, that we are stupid. Of course, we don't want anyone to see that, but we tell it to ourselves all the time. When we can see that that belief, I'm so stupid, is absolutely false, it has no real relationship to reality whatsoever. It's just a belief, a program, a virus of our mind that we've put in there that now acts on us. And you know, the kind of results, what kind of result might you see with someone that always says to himself, I'm so stupid? What kind of manifestations might you see?
I would expect people who say they're stupid and believe it to not be able to accomplish things that take some what they think of as intelligence that somehow they think they can't accomplish or are not worthy of.
Exactly. So, you know, so we see the stuckness. I am an intelligent person, yet I keep botching things and avoiding things, etc. Well, deep underneath, that I'm stupid message is holding you back. And, you know, there's a payoff for saying that. It protects you somehow from being hurt, from risking, from getting out there, from playing big, all that kind of stuff. But it's not really helping us. The payoff is small and it's just not real. So that's where the possibility of the breakthrough is, when we accurately pinpoint that belief, and then we start to see how that's just run us. I don't manifest myself as confident. I screw things up. I hold back. I do all of this stuff, and then we're trying to psychologically figure that out instead of just seeing in a very simple way what is the exact belief and what's the expression of that belief. Because a belief always expresses itself in some way. And sometimes it's rather subtle. That's why it's sometimes the trickiest part. So we'll spend a lot of time, or you'll spend a lot of time, in doing worksheets to really, you know, nail down that belief. And there's never one belief, right?
Yeah, I haven't found that yet.
You haven't found what?
That there's only one. It seems to be like a little cluster that are all intermingled,
yes,
and tied. That,
yeah,
each one is kind of interlocking with others, and you kind of have to break them all a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, it's like they're all cousins.
Yeah.
You
oh,
know?
Okay. Yes.
And so you might have several beliefs other than, oh, that's so stupid, that are sort of offshoots from that. And often there's a core one in there, but you don't have to worry about that. If I get to my core belief, then I would be totally enlightened. Well, maybe, I don't know, but that's not too important. You see what you see, and you work with what you see, and you get results with that, and then often that will reveal yet another level of limitation or belief.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you get to a really big one, you know, often called the core belief, it blows all the others out of the water at the same time.
Right.
They're so connected. You know, we see that. That's a really big theme in movies. You know, we've got to kill the mother alien. That was the, you know, remember the movie Independence Day?
Yep, I remember that.
When they killed the alien in the mothership, everything else died, right?
They nuked it.
They nuked it. But they couldn't nuke it until they got in there, you know, and got that particular thing. So you can see that as a possible analogy or metaphor. So, all this is interesting, but let's actually start doing it, okay? So I want you to take out your Get Again Stuck worksheet, and at the top is, where are you stuck, or what are you avoiding? So what I'm going to do is work with one of you. So who's in the 913 area code?
Robert, that's me, Brian Anderson.
Okay, Brian?
Yes, Brian.
Okay, great. So are you willing to work through this with me?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. So we're going to do what I call kind of a basic walkthrough. It's not going to go necessarily as deep as sometimes I go, just so that we make sure we understand the components of each of these 12 questions. Because sometimes people will misunderstand a question, and then the process goes sideways, essentially. It's pretty simple, but often we attach things to it that aren't really there. So, and then after we go through it, then we'll take some Q&A about it, et cetera. So let's pick something. You wrote some of these things down ahead of time, so you can pick one. So where are you stuck, or what are you avoiding? What's something in your business or marketing?
Well, I started with it just being more productive, spending too much time on low-activity things, such as unproductive emails and even browsing through Facebook and not doing more productive things. Such as,
okay.
I've got a back. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so those are the things you're doing instead of doing something else. But this is an important distinction. For instance, I want to make follow-up calls, the famous follow-up calls that no one wants to do. And then I do what you just told me, right? You say, well, I just avoid, I put off, I do other little things. There's a nagging voice in your head that says you ought to be doing it, but you're doing the other stuff. Is that pretty correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay. But what we want to write down in this space is that thing that we're avoiding, not the avoidance behavior yet. That's a different question. So that's the third question, in fact. So you sort of answered the third question. And to tell the truth, you can answer these questions in any order. But it's useful to see and just see, what is that thing that you want to do that you're not doing?
One of the biggest things I'm trying to work on right now is, I need to be working on right now, is just skill development, marketing skill development. And I've bought a ton of information products, and they sit on my computer, and they don't get looked at. So skill development is something related to marketing and lead generation is what I've invested a lot of money in. Now I need to invest the time in. And why I'm not getting to it, I don't know. I think I've got the point. I'm overwhelmed because I have too much of it.
Yeah, well, we sort of answered that question, but we have to answer it for you. You're stuck because of a belief. But so that's a good one, you know, skill development. You're not in the marketing club, the More Clients Club?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Okay, so for instance, people join the More Clients Club, and it's got every piece of information you could possibly want to know practically, or resources to it, and then people say, well, the club doesn't work. Well, have you been studying the material? No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truth be told, I was in it for a few months and wasn't engaged in it at all, so it wasn't the problem with the product.
No.
The club, it was me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So why pay for it if I'm not engaged in it? So
right, and that's where I was. So
yeah, this is why I'm doing a new thing in the club. I'm increasing engagement. I'm going to actually be doing coaching calls every we're calling them marketing action calls. We're going to be doing them every single Friday to engage people and coach people and support people in using the materials. So I thought, we don't need more information in the club. We need more support. So, but anyway, this is, you know, everyone on the call, I promise you, has bought at least one information product that they haven't used. And kicked themselves. And in many cases, it cost a hell of a lot more than the club membership. It cost $2,000 or something, and it's like, you know, why am I not using that?
Yeah.
And that's a good question, because you're losing out in a lot of ways. You don't get the advantage, and you lose your money, basically. Okay, so that's clear. So avoiding skill development from various courses and stuff. Yeah, you've got to get down and learn how to do some things, or you just won't do them, right?
Right.
Okay, the second question in the process is, what do you feel when you're experiencing this? When you're in that feeling of avoidance of learning and building the skills, what do you feel?
Well, I started writing down the worksheet. I wrote down anger, frustration, and worthlessness.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Because the need manifests in not making enough money.
Yeah. Anger, frustration, worthlessness. So that's a perfect answer for this. You know, some people tell a story about their feeling. And that's not what you want in this. By the way, as everyone is listening, as I'm working with Brian, you should be filling your own in based on the coaching that I'm giving Brian. It'll be different than his, but what are you stuck? You know, what's the actual thing you're avoiding? And then what you're feeling. So you don't want to write in the feeling thing, well, I'm kind of feeling that I ought to be doing this, but I'm not. See, that's a story or an explanation. You just want to be aware of the raw feeling. You know, that's something that's there that's been triggered by this underlying belief, and it does feel that way. And just to acknowledge that, not to push it away, it's there. It hurts. You know, the consequences of avoidance, it hurts. It's painful. It's very frustrating. You can be angry. You can be sad. You can be all range of experiences, and usually they are not positive feelings, right? If you said, hey, I feel joyful, happy, and exalted, or excited, that wouldn't make any sense, right?
No.
Okay, good. So that's great. So number three, how do you react and behave when you're experiencing this? So sort of expand on what you first said. So what sort of happens in your environment, and what are you doing or not doing that,
I call it avoidance behavior,
you know?
Right. This is what I wrote down. Ill-tempered with family. I'm married with a 12-year-old son.
Yeah.
I'm a stay-at-home parent, so I'm very involved with homework. So sometimes it manifests into not having a great time during homework.
Yep.
And engage in worthless activities like browsing through Facebook. That's what I wrote down.
Yep. Okay. Thank you for being so honest. I mean, that's one of the things that makes this process work, or it doesn't work without this, is honesty. I mean, it's just, you know, what do you have to lose here? You know, making stuff up and trying to protect yourself doesn't work. So really being honest about it. And so that's great, you know, and you're not alone. You know, I got a call from a lady yesterday who is 73 years old. She has no savings left. She's gone through all her savings, and she's afraid to do anything to market her business. She's absolutely, completely paralyzed. And it's not too late for you, but I don't know what's going to happen to this poor woman. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, she's in deep, deep trouble. And so this, you know, when we're younger in our business and, you know, we're having some of these problems, you know, we got some time to work it out. And ultimately, you know, many people do. But many people do fail in their business, but they have the fallback. They can go get a job. This person can't. It'll never happen. So we think we'll never be like that person. But, you know, she thought that as well. She worked for a company. She was very comfortable. She got the work in. It was great. Her job ended, and she retired, and she said, well, I'll do this as a freelancer, and she could never pick up the damn phone and do it, you know, because of that fear. So it's, you know, the younger you are, the better off you are in using this exploration and getting beyond this. So, see, if I tell you what you should do is stop looking at Facebook, start working on this, you'll just resist it more. That won't affect the belief. However,
I told myself that hundred times.
Yeah, so. It won't affect the belief. However, some coaching or support from somebody, or being on the coaching calls in the club later on, perhaps. You know, just getting, oh, that's how I could do it, and that's a small thing, and that's, you know, I could actually do that. You know, so getting the external stuff, but then you're even blocking yourself from getting that because that's the pattern of not building your skills. So let's see what the belief is under that. So, and there's a few ways you can say this. So what is the belief underneath the avoidance? Another way would be, what would you have to believe to behave that way and feel that way? What would you have to believe?
What I wrote down was past failure, ? Having invested similar time and effort into my market activities in the past and not having success. As I think it's fear of investing a lot of time, and I've already invested the money, but investing time and investing emotional energy in something that's not going to have a positive outcome. So that's what I wrote down.
Okay, I think that's a good starting point, but I'm not sure you've nailed it. And the reason is, you know, it's a little too reasonable in a sense. You know, I just worked on a presentation yesterday about this process, and I say one of the big barriers to moving forward is or stuckness is reasonableness. It all makes sense, but somehow it doesn't hit home. So I'll probably talk about that later. But so
I must admit, I have not read that part of the ebook yet. I've not gotten through the whole ebook yet, so I've not gotten to the belief section yet. So
okay, so how long have you been signed up for this course?
Yesterday.
Oh, just are you okay? So you're the.
I was one of your procrastinators.
Yeah. Well, good for you for taking action. Okay, so you haven't had a lot of time to do that, but that's fine. You can read that in the next few days. I mean, you can read the whole book in an hour. Really, you can. Okay, so let's look at the belief. So again, it's sort of what you're avoiding is learning stuff, right? What you're avoiding is getting in and learning stuff and building skills. So keep it simpler. What belief would you have if you're avoiding learning? And by the way, one little technique is imagine it's someone else. So I could say, what would someone else have to believe if they always avoided learning? Imagine it's somebody else. Distance yourself a bit. Then you can see it better.
Another thing I did write down in that is just a waste of time to invest the time in it maybe it's still getting back to.
Okay, so it's a waste of time.
Failures.
Who would say it's a waste of time? What belief would you have to say it's a waste of time? This is so obvious it's staring you in the face, but you're doing great.
I keep getting back to just not getting a positive return out of the time and money I spend on learning.
So say that once again.
Just not yielding or not ever seeing a positive return.
Yeah, so who would not see a positive return from studying something? What kind of person would not see a positive return from studying something?
Well, I can think of two answers. One, somebody who isn't very smart. I don't think that's me. And the other one would, another answer I could think of is somebody who just doesn't take the action to implement their knowledge.
But what's underneath and what's driving that? Why would someone not take action and see that it's just frustrating to learn and doesn't work to learn? What would you have to believe about yourself that prevents you from moving forward and learning? See, this is not a belief I have. This is a very debilitating belief for some people. And I want you to try to find it yourself, so let's keep going, because I could just tell it to you.
I'm working on it. You know, maybe a lack of self-confidence and seeing the project and seeing
it
all.
And what are you
through.
Not confident about? You're not confident about learning, right?
I don't think so. I keep getting back to just the old fear of failure, this feeling like it's not going to result in a positive outcome at the end. So
yeah, but look at this.
Going back to that, I know. Mm-hmm.
If I had trouble learning, I mean, that's the last thing we want to admit, that we're not good at learning things. But if I wasn't confident at learning, wouldn't I have to have some kind of belief that I'm not really a good learner?
I guess. I don't feel that way, but it's certainly possible.
Well, let me ask you this question. Are you a brilliant learner? Are you great and brilliant at learning things and absorbing things and then implementing them? Are you brilliant at this?
No, I'm not. It's implementation is
You're
what
not.
I think my... Right.
Yeah.
It's implementation is what I fall down on.
Yeah, but it starts with the learning, doesn't it? How can you implement something until you learn it? So you're not even reading the material that you bought, right? You were in the club and you really didn't study the materials, right?
Right.
So I've discovered something about learning. When you really learn something, then it becomes easy. The implementation becomes easy. So implementation is impeded by not learning. I want you to look at that really closely because, hey, and I could be wrong, but I want you to look at that closely because can you imagine if someone had the belief, I'm not good at learning stuff. After all, when I learn it, I don't implement it, I don't do it, I don't go into action. But you're sort of looking at the fallout of the belief that I'm not a good learner. Do you get the logic behind that?
Yeah, I'm working through it, yeah.
Yeah. So if you thought, yeah, I'm just not good at learning stuff, or learning is hard for me, or learning takes a lot of time, or learning is frustrating, or I want to get to it right now, so I want to bypass learning and just get it, all those kind of things. Are those familiar to you, those thoughts?
Yeah, I think related has also fatigue of learning. I don't know if that may sound odd, but...
Yeah, so tell me... You know, this is a little beyond the scope of the process, why I don't put it in the book, but often when I'm coaching people, I'll use it. What did your father tell you about school and learning and when you bought your report card and stuff like that? What did your father say?
He wasn't a man of a lot of words. I can't really answer that question. There's just always an expectation you're supposed to do well, and A and B student, and anything less than that was.
Yeah.
And I always knew the expectation. I can't recall a specific conversation we ever had on this.
Yeah.
It was just
was he ever disappointed in you?
Never disappointed me. About schooling or other activities?
Well, about your grades and your success.
No, I don't think so. I was an A and B student my whole life, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, I have two college degrees, so I mean, I've gone through the learning thing a lot, so I think.
Okay, do you have sometimes doubt about your intelligence?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's more. I'm not a learner. It's more like I'm not smart enough. I want to be smarter. I should be smarter.
That thought crosses my mind sometimes in a decision making process, a decision that wasn't made correctly.
I'm not smart enough. See, we're trying to get at the heart of, you know, what's the belief that drives the avoidance of learning? Because that's what the that's what we've got here, right? We've got avoidance of learning, getting in, and you've gotten two college degrees. Why is it that you've done well in college, but when you have something that's your own to work on, you avoid learning? See, it's smart for you to sign up for a class. See, smart guy. It's like he realizes, I can't learn on my own. Maybe that's the belief. I'm not good at learning on my own, period.
That's part of it. Well, the school, you have a deadline. You're more structured.
Yeah.
Right now,
so fill in the blank. I can't learn when?
I can't learn when I'm not forced to, when I don't have a deadline to meet.
Right.
That's all I can come up with right now.
Yeah, so I can't really learn, or I can't achieve, or I can't, you know, all of this is around achievement of some sort, right? I can't learn, I can't excel unless I have some outside pressure or a deadline or structure. Yes?
I think that's fairly accurate, yeah.
Fairly accurate. Okay. So I think a lot of people can find this true as well, because, you know, a lot what we're conditioned, you've held jobs, right?
Yes.
And you've been self-employed for how long?
We've gone on to 11 or 12 years.
11 or 12 years. Okay. You must have had some success in that time, yes?
I've dibbled and dabbled in two or three different things. It hasn't been the same thing the whole time.
But you haven't had the kind of success that you'd like to have?
No.
Did you have more success when you worked with someone else, for someone else?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So there's this whole sort of thing around self-starting, about learning, about motivation and all this kind of stuff, and there's a pattern around that, right? And so I want you to, this might not be the core belief, but we could, you know, this is why this is six sessions long in 6 weeks, so we can keep digging into this, and sometimes we'll get it, you know, down the road. But we could assume that at least one of the beliefs is, I don't work well on my own. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of ways to say it. I don't know the perfect way. But, you know, without a deadline or without some support or without some structure,
yeah,
I'm just not any good at that. I'm not good at learning. Yes?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that, yeah. The
okay.
structure and deadlines is what I can't kind of keep getting back to. When I have those, I'm fine. When I don't, I'm not. So.
Okay, go. So to make this a simpler belief, we say the belief would be, I need structure and deadlines to succeed. Is that true for
yeah.
you?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so write that down. So,
I mean, I'm thinking
know,
about, as I'm going back in my past when I've been in different learning environments, you know, when I've had deadlines and things I've had to get done at a certain time in a learning environment, I do it. And when I'm just left to my own to do it whenever,
yeah,
things don't get done. So, yeah.
Yeah. So everyone else on the phone, I'm sure, is nodding their head and saying, oh, yeah, I have that belief too. You know, self-employment takes a something other than a boss. But often that's why people hire coaches. It's just like, okay, you be my boss. I'll tell you what I need to work on, and you give me deadlines and structure and accountability. And pow, everything just turns around. But then often people can have yet another conflicting belief that is, well, I need to do it myself. Is that true for you?
Restate that question again, Robert. I'm not sure I followed you there.
Okay, so if one belief is, just write it down, I need structure and deadlines to succeed. Yes?
It's a far more yes than no, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a belief that you have. So we're even looking underneath that belief, and so I'm saying, well, it's not a big deal to get structure and deadlines. You hire a coach. And
no.
So what would prevent you from getting that support to give you structure and deadlines? See what I'm saying? It's really not, I need structure and deadlines. No problem. Hey, get a coach, get an accountability partner, a mastermind group, meet with them, talk about what you're doing, and get structure and deadlines, and without a job. And I've seen this happen many times, and all of a sudden people succeed. So why? What would prevent you from getting having a coach? And so often the belief around that is, I need to do it all myself. So that would prevent you from doing the thing that would give you what you need to succeed. See how convoluted our beliefs get? So I need to, but I need to ask you and check that. Do you have the belief I need to do it all myself?
I think I used to. I'm not sure I do so much anymore.
So what? Why wouldn't a smart guy like you figure out a way to put structure and deadlines into their life? Hey, maybe it's something that just didn't occur to you, and that's
you know,
not even a belief. What's that?
It hasn't really. I mean, this
yeah.
is kind of this kind of come to me during this conversation, actually. So.
Yeah, so one can have a certain belief that's driving them. The solution is actually simple, but that belief is so ingrained, you know, it's a little more complex than that, but somehow you've set yourself up to not be able to follow through and study and gain skills because you don't have the structure and deadlines.
Right.
So let's just work with that belief for now. There might be others in the future, okay?
Good.
So, everyone's thinking, wow, is it always that complicated to get to my belief? And the answer is often no and sometimes yes. And that's the value of doing a course like this. So you can, you know, get that. And everyone will have a chance to get some clarity on this. You'll be sending me emails and I'll be looking at them and blah, 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 you know, if we don't talk on the line. Okay, so that's a belief that you have. And so you're convinced that belief is true. I need structure and deadlines to succeed. So here's the sort of $64,000 question. But is that really true? Do you need structure and deadlines to succeed? And notice there wasn't even a pause. You just said no.
Yeah.
So tell me why that's not true.
Because people do it all the time. I mean, people.
But how
what
about
I'm
you?
Struggling with,
haven't you done some stuff successfully without structure and deadlines? Sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Give me an example.
Other people do it all. Give me an example.
And other people do it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not you. Forget about other people. It's about you that's important. Because we want to look about the truth in you. So can you give me an example, physics? What's something that you do on a regular basis that just gets done without structure and deadlines?
This sounds simple, but I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm just trying to blank on this one.
Okay, so you know that sort of indicates that the belief is really stuck, right?
yeah.
And so then it manifests really, really. So, but logically, you know, was anybody pressuring you to other than me?
Let me back up. I think I may have an answer. You know, exercise is something I do 6 or 7 days, 5 or 6 days a week, and I don't have anybody pressuring me to do that. It's just something I do almost every day on my own. So,
well, thank you for that. So, who gave yourself the structure and deadlines for doing your exercise?
For me, it's part vanity, it's part health.
Yeah, but you gave yourself that. You set a goal for yourself, and you made that
right.
important to yourself, and you do it, right?
Right.
So it's not true that you can't do something without externally, you know, impose structure or deadlines.
Right.
Right? It's the externally, you know, you should really even add that. I need externally imposed, write that down, external imposed structure and deadlines. So somehow that's acting inside you for a lot of things. It seems a little different, and you say, oh, man, you're just not into it. But if you had someone else coaching and supporting you, you know, it could turn around pretty quickly, right? Yes?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Look, the thing that you're doing with exercise, that's a stuckness or difficulty for me. We all have something, right? You know, I exercise on and off and on and off and on and off, right? It's it's hard for various reasons. I have various beliefs, et cetera. So that's so common to you and easy to you and normal to you that you just do it. Anyway, so the next quick question. So is that belief working for you?
No.
It's not, right?
No.
So what are the costs of attaching to that belief? Pretty obvious, right?
Number one is financial for me. It's financial. It's happiness, relationships, yeah.
Self-esteem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Those are all costs. You don't, if you're not doing the stuff you need to do, so get the direct correlation. You believe that it results in certain avoidance, and there is a cost to that. Just as I was talking with Steve earlier, right?
Yes.
So, okay, that's clear. So let's look at the payoff. What are you getting out of believing that? What's the payoff of attaching to that belief?
Redefine for me the belief that we're dissecting right now, that I'm a slow learner.
I need support.
The structure.
And deadlines.
Okay, what is
to succeed. You have that belief, and you're getting something out of that.
Okay.
What is that?
What was the payoff attached to that belief? I need structure to get. The payoff is pretty small.
Yeah, it is pretty small. But it's there, and it's actually more powerful than the cost, or you would be in action.
Right.
So it's usually something, some kind of, I get to be more comfortable believing that belief and avoiding things, or I get to avoid a certain kind of pain. What kind of pain would you avoid by not taking action?
Kind of pain would I avoid by not taking action? I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but this is one thing that I've thought of often, is that the stress, the busyness that results from being much more successful and the stress that goes along with that, I don't know if that answers your question, but it's something I've thought about.
No. Yeah.
In the past.
Well, it's called the pain.
The pain of success. Yeah, the avoidance, wanting, feeling like the need to avoid the stress that I believe would result from being more successful and being busier and dealing with a lot more people. So yeah, that's.
Yeah. So there's that stuff underneath there. So like I said, it's the pain of success, the pain of possible success, pain of now. It's also perhaps the pain of possible failure, right? I mean, you could both of these sort of act at the same time. You could be successful. That would put you under stress, and you don't want that. The other thing is if you tried more, you could fail, right?
I stress now. I mean, I see stress either way. So
either way. So it's like it's not manning up to the fact that, heck, there's going to be consequences, and I got to deal with those consequences. It's just, I'll just be like a kid. I'll just avoid it. I won't do my homework. Hopefully my father won't punish me.
Yeah. And it's recognizing that I don't deal with stress, a bunch of external stress, as good as I probably should. So
yeah.
It's recognizing
so
that.
So is that payoff worth it, given the tremendous cost it's exacting on you?
I'm kind of spot where I feel like it's going to be a drag on me one way or the other.
It's going to be a drag one way or the other, right? Let's just look at this. So let's compare them. Cost is not making money, low self-esteem, lack of confidence, stress in your marriage. Unhappiness. That's on the negative side. On the positive side, you get to avoid any possible stress or any possible failure or any possible thing like that. So what's worse?
When you add those up, it's where I am now is worse than the other side.
The costs are worse, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's just, that's the whole purpose of that question, is to see that the payoff or what you're getting out of all this avoidance really is, you know, the payoff is kind of imaginary. Isn't it kind of just imaginary? See, the costs are real, but the payoff is imaginary. How do you know you'll be stressed? isn't there a possibility that you could make more money and have a great time and make it all work? Don't you think that would be possible?
It's possible. Going on history. It's
yeah, because there's other beliefs that are in there that we'll be working on. But, yeah, it's possible.
Belief, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're caught in the bind here, sort of like it's the proverbial rock in a hard place, you know? I'm screwed if I don't act, and I'm screwed if I act. Right?
It's a little bit how I'm feeling, yes.
Yes. So let's look at a new possibility. So who would you be if it were impossible to attach to that belief? That I need structure, I need this. And also the belief that if I succeed, it will suck, and if I fail, it will suck. Especially succeed.
Yeah.
Who would you be if you couldn't believe all that mass of beliefs right now, in the moment? So this is a very simple question. It's sort of like if I imagine that you have that belief in your hand. Imagine that right now in front of you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can hand that belief. And you take that belief and physically throw it up into the air. Just throw it up in the air. Whoop, up in the air. Okay? You don't have the belief anymore. You just have the empty hand. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
How is it like now that you don't have that belief?
Highly productive person.
How's it feel?
Happier. Happier person.
Yeah.
More higher self-esteem, self-confidence.
Yeah. And where does all that come? Where does all that come from?
Where does all of it come from?
All that good stuff. Where does all that come from? It comes from you, right?
Well, yeah, it comes from me, yeah. Okay. It
comes from you. I mean, that's the answer. So
Without
all those burdening beliefs, you were left. You just came up with it right away. It's like you don't have them. You're left with you. And you would be more productive, more... Whatever, you'd stop procrastinating so much, you'd just get down to doing things, because you couldn't believe, it's kind of a thought experiment, if you couldn't believe that anymore, who would you be? And the next question, what possibilities might open up to you if you no longer identified with that belief? What possibilities in your business, for instance, might open up? You can't have that belief anymore, we've taken it away from you.
Well, the number one thing I think of is just, you know, the financial, and just being a better off spot financially.
Yeah, but what would you do? What possibilities in your marketing and business, coming back to the original avoidance, what possibilities would open up regarding learning, for instance? If you can't believe you need structure, you need this, you can't have that, blah, 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 but all of that was gone, what possibilities might open up in learning?
Well, I'm not sure. Or business related to me, it'd be the marketing side of things. It would be a lead generation side of it. Just not having struggles in lead generation side.
Yeah.
In the marketing side of things.
Would learning be easier?
Yeah, it would.
If you didn't have all these constrictive beliefs about learning, I need this kind of structure and it has to be this kind of way, and if I don't do it this way, then blah blah blah. But, you know, we take all that away from you. Do you think a baby that's just learning to crawl has those kind of beliefs?
No.
If I don't have the structure, I won't be able to walk.
Right. Learning will be, I'll be much more enthused about it, and the results from it will be much more productive.
Yeah. Good. So, Brian, is it okay to be just who you are without having that belief anymore? Just be you. Is that okay with you?
Well, that'd be good.
Yeah. Okay. So, given that, what's the next step for you?
Well, I think it is getting some sort of a structure, accountability, so I get done the stuff I need to get done.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, if that belief is there and you can find an external way of getting that support, maybe that's a good idea. I mean, really.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what your financial situation is to get a coach, but something that you could do is get an accountability partner. So, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to open the line. See? Okay, the lines are open, so if you've got noise in your background, just mute yourself. Okay, so I want to know if there's someone on the call that would be willing to be an accountability partner for Brian. And you know, someone else who needs accountability as well. Anybody? I can hear you all now.
I would be.
Okay, who's that?
Caroline.
Caroline. Okay, Caroline. Okay, Caroline and Brian, I'll make it easy. I'll send you an email with your email addresses and stuff,
thanks.
Okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to connect by phone and email. And then, Caroline, the thing for you to do to say, and I want you to keep this very simple, small steps. And, you know, this can be focused around, let's focus this around his initial issue, which is about learning stuff. So ask him, what's one thing you want to study and learn more about? And what would your answer be, Brian?
I have a Facebook video ads course right now that I want to get through. That's the first thing on my list.
Okay. Facebook video. Okay, video thing. I want to suggest something. I want to suggest something else. I'm not against that.
That's fine. I'm open.
Well, let me tell you that. Let me not do that now. It's sort of beyond the scope of this right now. Work it out with Caroline, and then find some structure of support that Caroline provide in a step-by-step manner that would help you take action. Okay?
Okay.
Brian, I spoke up. Just because of something that said say yes, and because a lot of what you said and shared is, you know, I can see myself in that. So, So I think that, you know, we can work on our issues together.
Okay.
Cool.
Good.
Okay. Good. So I'll connect you. I'll connect you, and we'll see where that goes. So thank you, Carolyn. Okay, so this took a little longer than I thought, but, you know, I wanted to give you, you know, a taste of this and show you that to really get into it, it gets a little more complex than the 12 questions. But ultimately, it comes down to the 12 questions of being clear about the answers, answering as honestly as you can, and seeing what emerges from that. So Brian emerges with this with, you know, a taste of a new possibility. To actually, instead of just thinking he needs support and never doing it, to actually getting some support so he really does it. At some point, he might realize that he can support himself, no problem. But, you know, you get the results you get. So I'd like to answer any questions that you have right now about this, and then we'll wrap up the session in about 10 minutes or so. And also, I can't remember if I mentioned this, sometimes it's appropriate for the course to run over for a few minutes, so I recommend that you don't have an appointment that you have to get to at the bottom of the hour, that you leave yourself a buffer of half an hour or so that you could do other things, and that might be on the call for a few more minutes. So we try to end on time, but sometimes we will go over a little bit. Okay, so questions or insights or observations or anything you got out of me working with Brian?
Well, Robert, this is Laura Belston.
Hi.
And I took down in my notes that this is not a purely intellectual process.
Right.
And that approaching it from that intellectual process is not enough.
Yeah. Then you get theoretical about your beliefs.
Okay. All
there
right.
Ain't no
so
theory
it's
here,
actually
you know?
A matter of getting into the feeling that those beliefs generate. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
and that's
that
why
helps,
question?
And that's why we talk about feelings.
Okay, all right. So that's what the antidote is to being purely intellectual.
Depending on who you are.
Okay.
You know,
I
if
mean,
it works for
else?
You, you know, sometimes when you feel it, sometimes that belief can bubble to the surface more clearly. And sometimes
okay.
even tears will come. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I realize that blah, 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 you know. And that's what I've been believing all this time because that feeling is attached to that. And sometimes women will have an easier time than men with that, and not always.
Okay.
So sometimes, and I talk about this in the book, sometimes a body sensation is more effective than a feeling. Just feel, you know, in that stuckness, what does your body feel like? Or you can do even both. You know, it feels tense. It feels really tight. I feel like I'm about to explode or whatever. And then see what the belief is underneath there. So whatever, you know, whatever means that you need to identify the belief. Because that's the key thing. See, that's the thing that we struggled the most in this process. What it really is, that belief. Because you can have a very mental kind of belief and you're just thinking, well, I think that's what it must be, but that's not really seeing it. Make sense?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for
okay,
the clarification.
Good. And we don't always have to go through angst with all this stuff. Sometimes it's right on the surface, you know. Sometimes it's just right there. Anyway, okay, let's hear more insights, questions.
It's Caroline again. I wanted to also say that for me, the most profound part of this process is the turnaround, that having examined the belief and realizing what impact it has on my life and how I live my life as a consequence.
Yeah.
That when I do the turnaround, then and you know, it's helpful to do it in different ways and find the turnaround that fits.
Are you familiar with Byron Katie's work with the turnaround?
Yeah, I did festival for the book.
Yeah, so I actually don't use the turnaround as a technique, but I have no objection to it. The problem I have with the turnaround, it's easy to do this, is to turn around the belief to its opposite and then simply turn that into another belief. And we sort of want to get even, that's what we call beyond stuckness, even beyond belief. So that can be a tool that can help you. So I have more this thing on what is the cost and what is the payoff of this belief and seeing, you know, what the consequences that are wreaking havoc in your life because of those. And see, so I have those three questions at the end, and the three questions at the end are very deliberate. One is, and that's why I put them in black, you know, the one that pops out. Who would you be if it were impossible to attach to this belief? That isn't really a turnaround. That's actually Byron Katie's fourth question. Now we're getting kind of technical about this, but this is not something that came about by accident, by a lot of trial and error. So who would you be? Just imagine oneself if you didn't have that belief at all. No belief. Just who, and then you come face to face with, you just be yourself, right? Make sense?
Yes, but and I hear what you're saying, and that's going to be very interesting working this course with you,
yeah.
Particularly as it's focused on marketing. I think the point for me about the turnaround is that sometimes even if I can see that the belief isn't true,
yeah.
There's still a certain attachment to it. And just doing the turnaround and realizing that turnaround could be equally as true,
yes,
is very
yeah.
helpful, and also that when the old belief surfaces, sometimes it gives me insight into what's really going on. Like you spent a lot of time today
yeah.
talking about getting to the belief underneath the belief, and even the belief underneath that.
Yeah,
and
right.
So sometimes then, when that thought goes through my mind, having done the turnaround, it's like Byron Katie says, once you know that a snake is a rope, then
yes.
there's no convincing you ever again that the rope is a snake.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I found that there are certain times that it's like the belief still comes up, you know, our minds go on all the time.
Yes.
But that I see it for what it is because I've
yeah.
got clear on the turnaround.
Yeah, that's, you know, like I did in the introduction when I talked about my experience, and sometimes it just disappears. It's almost like, you know, initially the belief is working on us subconsciously. We just don't even notice it. We don't even notice that a belief is even there. And then we
yeah.
notice that the belief is there, and we notice it's not true, and we notice the cost and the payoff. And even, you know, with a turnaround, we can see that another belief could be just as valid, completely opposite, in fact, could be just as valid, et cetera, et cetera. And it's sort of like you see beliefs coming to you in slow motion. They're not subconscious anymore. It's just, oh, there it is. And you see it pass from sort of from the left to the right on the screen of your awareness, and then it goes. And it's not doing anything to you. You're just aware of it. Oh, I'm having that thought that I should kill my wife. Oh, isn't that an interesting thought? There it comes, there it goes. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a belief. And you don't get angry, you know? So,
if the turnaround is to that thought, oh, actually, what that really means is this is a time I could feel more loving to my wife, even if that's still a belief, it's a much nicer place to end up.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll sell me on using the turnaround a little bit more. So, you know, I have no objection to it.
I don't think your wife would either.
Yeah. Yeah, really. So, very good. Okay, so I want just to see where we are, and I'm not expecting huge breakthroughs on the first call, but say yes if this is true for you, that say yes if you got some insight about your beliefs in the call today. Say yes.
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 Okay. Good.
Yes.
And if you did not get any insight about your belief from the call today, say no. Okay. Well. That's, what did they say, that's batting 1,000. Everybody got some insight into it, which is great. And as we go into this, the insights will get deeper and deeper until we actually start to see our beliefs as something that are, they're not who we are. They are something that we have just made up, and they're just thoughts. And there's no substantial reality to those beliefs. They really are not real. They are really just phantoms in many ways. So, any final thing or comment before we wrap up?
Yeah, Robert, this is Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie, yes.
I'm just blown away by identifying I need structure and routine as being a belief, because I just took that as a fact, because it's also a cultural belief. So it was very, very exciting and liberating to hear that as a belief, because I identify with your client that I exercise without any problem. I don't need routine.
Yeah.
So that was a real eye-opener for me. So now I'm going to watch out for any belief I have that the culture supports.
Yeah. See, maybe you really, you know, there's no shame in getting support. You know, who gets support more than anybody else? Olympic athletes. They often have several coaches. They have a running coach. They have a stopping coach. They have a starting coach, whatever. And so champions get support.
Right, but I think what I mean is sometimes my beliefs that work against me are beliefs that the culture agrees with.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to watch out for that, because I could get in, I could just accept it as a fact when it wasn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can get structure and support, or you can have it as a debilitating belief. I mean, there's, you know, when beliefs are malleable, you can find out what works for you instead of what you think should be and it must be and it has to be and we've always done it that way and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So, great. All right, so I've got some homework for you. It's very simple. I want to make sure you complete reading the book. I want you to do at an absolute minimum of one worksheet straight through, whether it takes you 15 minutes or 5 hours. You know, you might take a while to do it. And if you do them easily, do more than that. But one that you really buckle down. So you got to find the issue, first of all. What am I avoiding? What's that thing I'm procrastinating about? Where's the place I'm stuck? What is it that I want to do but I'm not doing? Identify that clearly and then just continue with the process. And don't try to rush through it, because then it doesn't go deep enough. You know, feel the feeling. Stop. Close your eyes. Feel the pain. Feel the frustration. Take a breath. Go on to the next question. That kind of thing. So find a quiet time that you can do it. And your mind, by the way, is not interested in this process. Your mind would rather do anything else than look at it, because your mind wants to protect you from being hurt. That's its payoff. So, you know, there can be resistance in doing the process. You might have to do the process and doing the process in order to do the process. I don't know. So, but we want to get it. Sort of, you know, at least for the 6 weeks, it's like you're kind of immersed in this. And after a while, you'll be dreaming about this. You'll dream about a belief and how it's stopping you and how you get past it and that thing. Then you really know you're embodying this. Okay, so that's it. Thank you, everybody. And,
thank you.
Be on the alert for the notice from a Maestro conference with the new phone number. Okay, and it will send you automatic reminders a day before and then an hour before, stuff like that. And then we can do this thing where we can actually do sharing and practice some of this stuff back and forth with each other. Okay, everybody, thank you very much for your participation, and I look forward to continuing this with everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.